Charlotte Elliott, the penman and the author of Just As I Am, wrote Just As I Am in 1935 as a poem. Now, that poem has five verses in it. The poem has seven verses in it. Your songbook will normally have five verses of the song, Just As I Am. But the story about the song is where the power lies. At the age of 32, Charlotte Elliott had developed a debilitating disease within her body. There had come to the, she had come to the point to where every waking moment was pain-filled, depressed, broken, disheartened. In her earlier life, she was a socialite, well-received, a lot of friends, a lot of poetry, a lot of excitement of the party circle. All of a sudden, she becomes disabled. The friends start backing away. The invitations cease to come. She had gotten to a point within her life where depression was so overwhelming with her. While at a family dinner one day, this local, or the pastor, which is a friend of the family, was joining them. And he looked at Charlotte and he said, "Charlotte, I hope that you know Jesus personally as your Savior." Well, it angered her. I mean, it angered her. What's he, who does he think he is? What's he talking about? So she fumed a little bit. And later on, a few weeks later, she was around him again and she said, "What exactly did you mean by asking me and making the comment that you hope that I know Jesus personally as my Savior? How could any human being who is filled with so much sin personally know my Savior? How could I ever come to the throne of grace to know him personally?" And he looked at her and he said, "Come just as you are." Well, it just threw her for a loop. You all really need to read her story. The preacher said, "Come just as you are." I never heard that before. I thought I had to do something to get right. Just as you are. So at the age of 33, she was 32 when she became so deathly ill. Age of 33, Charlotte accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of her life. And in 1835, she penned the poem, "Just As I Am." It wasn't until 1839 to where it became, or music was placed to it. But what's the point? I want you to hear something in her own writing that she said. I have one of these for all of you, including all seven verses. "My Heavenly Father knows, and He alone." Now listen to the agony in her. What it is, day after day and hour after hour, to fight against bodily feelings of almost overpowering weakness and languor and exhaustion, to resolve, as He enables me to do, not to yield to the slothfulness, the depression, the irritability, such as a body causes me to long to indulge, but to rise every morning determined on taking this for my motto: if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me just as I am, just as you are. Come like you are. You cannot change who you are. God created you with the personality he wants you to have. And for anyone to attempt to change that personality does Christianity a grave disservice. And it is sin before God. Each person is an individual. Each individual has a calling given to them by God, a purpose by God. And no other individual has a right to discourage, dissuade in any way, or to keep that individual from walking the path that God has placed them on with the personality he has given them. And God says, if there's any changing to be done, I'll do it. God says, just as you are, you come. I'll send you those who will support you just as you are. And they will see your light brighten day after day as I change who they are in the growing process. As I grow the you, the world will see my light shining in you, just as you are. But Charlotte Elliott was hurting so bad. How could anyone as miserable as I am ever be able to contribute to the greatness and the glory of God? And the answer would come back, just as you are. Just as you are. And the song rings true today. Just as I am, without one plea. But that my Savior died for me. Just as I am, without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me. And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Before you leave today, I want you to look at in the vestibule to my right. I want you to look at the bulletin board out there. Faye designed it. I kicked in my 2 cents. And Debbie put it up. But I want you to look at it. I want you to see life that Christ means for you. You're going to love the picture I have out there. Because that picture represents you. That picture represents me. And that picture places you and me right in the arms of Christ. Not his arms up here, but his arms underneath holding us up. That's what it means, just as I am. And when you're out talking to folk and inviting them to know Jesus, don't you dare get out there and say, now here's what you need to do. And don't you dare let your pastor hear you saying it. You tell them the story of your life and what Christ has done for you. That's called testimony. Testifying about the greatness of who Jesus is and what he's done for you. And let the Holy Spirit do the rest. God says, I'll convict. Do you know? When I said yes to Jesus Christ, didn't have a thing to do with anybody around me. No. The preacher up front, he says, whoever wants to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, come on, walk the aisle right now. He'll accept you. What made an 8-year-old boy get out, walk out of the pew right in front of all those ugly people, right on down that aisle, and turn around and look at them? Preacher didn't do that. The Holy Spirit of God. God says when your heart is right. You know what God means when he tells me about my heart being right? When I'm broken. When I'm so scared. Look, folks, my knuckles were solid white. I'm holding on to that pew. And that piece of wood wasn't going to save me. But I'd hold it on. Because if I turn loose, and when I did turn loose, why, it was just like I popped right out in that aisle. I remember taking the first step, and then I floated the rest of the way. I mean, I was going to Jesus. All hell couldn't stop that march. That was a gift from God. God looked at my heart and He saw me just as I was, a snotty-nosed 8-year-old kid. Well, did you know what you were doing? I still don't know what I'm doing, but I'm just as saved today as I was at 8 years old when I said yes to Jesus. I don't have to know how to spell Jesus to call on His name. He loves me just as I am. What causes most problems within your life in relationships? People have decided they don't like you like you are, so they want to change you. Boy, I know my congregation. They're going to hang that one up. You see, the change comes from within. What if I want to say, now, Brother Randy, you need to change this, and the Holy Spirit's saying, Randy, just let Him mouth on. He's the one that needs to change. Do you get it? Let God do it. Charlotte Elliott said, I will come just as I am. But what am I going to offer? The Lord said, that was it. That was it. Trust. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Trust in the Lord. So I have a message for the world. And the message is loud and clear. And that message concerns salvation. Salvation awaits. Salvation awaits. Salvation awaits everyone who calls. Everyone. Listen to Acts 2:21. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Or if I get back to my old English, whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't care how you say it. In modern English, old English, broken English, or any other language, salvation is of the Lord. And whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be. Not might be. I called on the name of the Lord at 8 years old. And now, Brother Larry, you should have waited till you knew what you was doing. I'd still be lost. You would too. When you get to the point in your life where you think you've got God figured out, that is a point in your life where you need to realize that you've been worshiping the wrong God. You got that? That's a wrong God. Well, I got this Christian stuff all figured out. The Lord says, whosoever calls on my name will be saved. Salvation awaits by the will of God. God wills me to be saved. He willed me as an 8-year-old to be saved. All I had to do was call on His name. Lord, I didn't have to explain what I was doing. All I had to say was, Lord, do you not realize that the Lord sees our spirit, sees our heart? He hears the cry from within us. And as soon as we recognize Him in our presence, He says, I got you. Can you explain your brokenness? When you're hurting so bad, you are overwhelmed with just being broken. If your salvation was based on you explaining your brokenness and why, you'd stay broke. But it doesn't. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, because it's the will of God. 1 Timothy 2:3-4. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. All men. It's His will. Whosoever will, let him come. He just reminds us time and time again, but there's only one name by which you can come. His name is Jesus. No other name. It's by faith, through grace, that God gives. And whosoever will, let him come. And it's in His name. It's my will, God says. And when God says, I will, He does, already has, and will continue to do so. And when it's God's will, God have mercy on anybody that tries to stop you. For they find themselves fighting God Almighty. That's a battle they're going to lose. It's a battle you'll lose. If you try to fight the will of God in your life, you're going to follow your will. Or you'll try to make everybody else happy around you. Do you ever try that one? You know, I want to make everybody in my family happy. Well, hang that one up before you start. You're not going to make everybody, you're not going to, look, the majority of the days of your life, you're not even going to make yourself happy. How in the world are you going to make anybody else happy? How about just being you? How about that? How about just being who you are and watching God glorify the name of His Son through you? Yeah? He'll even glorify Jesus through your ignorance. He'll even use your foolishness. I can picture the heavenly host laughing so often at the human race and our ignorance and foolishness, and God saying, I love them. I love them. Do you ever have a child that had a case of the foolishness? Foolish all the time? Did it keep you from loving them? Did they keep making the same mistake over and over? You still love them? Yes, I love them, Brother Larry, but I wish they'd quit. Tell God on them. Tell God on them. My son, my grandson, all the children in this church, I love you, but you don't belong to me. But I know your Father in heaven, and I know that He loves you just like you are. Salvation awaits one way, through the blood of Jesus. You got it? Hebrews 9:14. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself unblemished to God? I couldn't do that. I'm blemished. Man, I'm more than blemished. Jesus, unblemished, offered Himself to God. Cleanse our conscience from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God. You know what that means? Believe. Well, you're saying all you have to do is believe. I didn't say it. Jesus did. God did. It's in His book. He's the author. And He says, yes, you believe. People start telling you that you've got to keep rules. You got to do this. You're going back to the Old Testament era. You're going back to the rules and regulations of man. I guarantee you, they'll stick their own rules and regulations in there just to control you. How about you as an individual listening to Jesus and following His path for your life? But Brother Larry, they're not doing it the way that I think they should. Well, that's good, because you didn't do too hot with your own life. That's good. How about them doing it the way God's leading them? How about God leading and directing and us accepting? It goes back to the old preacher that talked about the individuals who always wanted to be front and center. As he said, they want to be the corpse at every funeral and the bride at every wedding. Think of that. Jesus says, I choose you. I choose you. And here's what I've chosen you for. I can't do what God chose you to do. I can't do that. Because you were created for that purpose. That's right. God had a purpose when He created each and every one of us. No one else can do the ministry God has set before you to do. Only you can do that. Salvation awaits. And that salvation is kept eternally with Jesus. That's right. I'm eternally saved. That's right. I don't stutter when I say it. I believed in once saved, always saved, because I know within my heart it is the Word of Almighty God. Once He's got a hold of me, nothing, no one can pull me out of His hands, John 6:37. Listen to him. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. That was not based on me saying, Lord, I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's a lie to begin with. You got me? My salvation is not based on human concerns. My salvation is not based on human need. My salvation is not based on human actions or human inactions or human love or human dislove. My salvation is based on a promise. Whosoever will let him come, just as you are, won't you come? Just as you are, won't you stand? Just as you are, won't you proclaim? Just as you are. That's the way I created you. That's the way I like you. That's the way I'll use you, thus says the Lord thy God. I need a little more education, Lord. Some of us have already got too smart for our britches. We got completely educated out of a relationship with Jesus and into head knowledge. My brain is not going to make it in eternity. Phew. And I'm glad my eternal life isn't dependent on it either. But the real me in here, count me gone already. Count me already there. I got to finish the ministry God has called me for on earth. When that's over, I'm going home. And this shell is going to go back to the dust. But you see, I got a Savior, Brother Webster. My Savior, the Bible says, came from heaven down to earth. I came from the earth, and I will ascend to heaven. Jesus says, I'm going on, Larry. Not only do I have your name, I got you home. I got a place waiting for you. But now, I want you to be about my business and finish up. Aren't you glad Jesus finished on the cross? Aren't you glad that not one whip print was withheld? Well, what if that lash had my name on it? See, there's not a scar on Jesus that doesn't have a name. My name's on there. My sin went on his body. And when he told his Father in heaven, it is finished. Father, all the sin against Larry Pete is gone. Woo! And then he says, it is finished. That was finished for me too. And then you know how he proved it? He conquered my death. Yep. Well, even the grave couldn't hold him. And when he came forth from that tomb triumphant, oh, what a shout in heaven. Surely we know some people that are shouting. Surely we'll be shouting. Scripture says we will. Singing, shouting, and dancing. You Baptists might as well suck it up. God says, I love you this much, just like you are. Now, it don't get any better than that, people. It just don't get any better than that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love, for taking us just as we are. Oh, Father, touch our lives now as we make commitments to you. A commitment, Heavenly Father, that we want to follow you. The commitment, dear Lord God, to stand strong in your word, in your truth, in your name. Touch us now, that our lives might be a positive touch on others. And Father, that those who don't know Jesus will come to know him. Thank you, Father, for allowing us just to be a part of your family. And we ask now the blessing upon each heart that's listening, upon each one that's present. Touch a life. In Jesus' name, amen.